Okay. So firstly, apologies for the fact that I ended up having to give over Zoom. Rina ended up having a very early morning meeting. So I'm here with the kids. And accordingly, I guess I'll just also apologize in advance if at any point I have to run quickly to deal with a screaming child. Hopefully they'll cooperate so that we can cover some ground and learn some Bekiyas and Maseches Gittin. It's always wonderful for me to have the opportunity to jump in to Kol HaBoker for our Bekiyas Limud. So Rabbi Weinberger told me that we're holding on the Chof Aleph and Beis. Then he got up to the two dots on the Bekiyas completely. So that's where we're going to be starting. We're starting from Chof Aleph and Beis. Five lines down. The words of Yossi Aglili Omer are a reference to the Mishnah. The Mishnah was all the way back on Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yossi Aglili said at the very end of the Mishnah, that we cannot write a get on a living creature, on an animal, and you can't give a get that's written in food also, I guess. Can everybody hear me? I'm getting some feedback. Ari, can you hear me?
We can hear you, but we're trying to get someone.
We have technical difficulties. One second.
I'm going to mute you if that's okay. Actually, I don't have the ability to do that.
Okay, it's done.
Okay.
Yes?
Yes, good. Perfect. Go.
Good. Okay. So Yosef Lili told us once again that you can't write it on an animal, or, you know, if you're some chef who wants to engage in all sorts of creativity, that's not the opportunity to do so. Make sure that your get is not written in food either. So the Gemara asked my time with Rabbi Yosef Lili, what's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yosef Lili Shita? The Gemara says it's actually Xeris HaKos of the Sanya, because we learned it in the Brisa. Sefer, well, the central pasuk on Gershin is the Chas of La Sefer Krisos. Get is described in the Torah as a Sefer. So the Gemara says it needs to be a Sefer. So if that were the case, the Gemara says, then maybe you'd think it only could be a Sefer, the same way like a Sefer Torah. It can only be a Sefer. So the Gemara says, Ein li ela Sefer, minayin l'rabos kol davar. So if I just had the word Sefer, then I would think it needs to be really on klaf, with dyo, everything like that. Which is, of course, how we have the practice to write Gittin, but it's not strictly speaking necessary. So if I only had the word Sefer, I think you need all of that. So how do I know that you can write a Gittin other ways as well? So the Gemara says, Tamalomar v'chasavla. The pasuk also says, v'chasavla, he should write it for her. And the Gemara makes a drasha, mikol makom. He can write it in any way. So the words of the pasuk are, v'chasavla, sefer krisos. And those two clauses, or those two parts of the pasuk, v'chasavla on the one hand, and sefer krisos on the other, attenuate each other. If I just said sefer krisos, I think it needs to be a full sefer. V'chasavla comes to expand that and teach me there are lots of other ways that one can write a get as well. But the Gemara says, how do I deal with the balance between those? The fact that I have Sefer on the one hand and Chasavla that expands beyond that. So I'm Kein Matam Alomar Sefer. If you're telling me I can write anything, then why do I have Sefer at all? So Ma Sefer, Dabar She'in Ba Ruachayim Ve'ino Ochel. Sefer, just like a Sefer, is something that is not a living creature and it's not food. Af Kol Dabar She'in Ba Ruachayim Ve'ino Ochel. So too, you can use anything for a get that is not living and is not food. So because, again, you have these two parts of the pasuk, one that is restrictive and says sefer, one which is more expansive says v'chasavla, the balance between them is that you don't need, strictly speaking, a sefer, but you need to have certain properties of a sefer. And what are those properties that are critical? And you can't be a living animal, and it can't be food. Now the Gemara is going to say, what about the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan, who don't agree with Rabbi Yossi and don't have those restrictions, how do they learn the pasuk? So the Gemara says they learn the pasuk as follows. Rabbanon iksiv basefer kidika amrit. If the Torah had said basefer in the sefer, then your drasha Rabbi Yossi Aglili would have been a good drasha. But hashu dechasiv sefer. But once it just used the word sefer, it didn't say basefer. It didn't have that prefix of the beis. L'sfiras dvarim u'da'asa. Sefer only teaches you that you need sfiras dvarim, that the get needs to include the story of what's happening here. It needs to describe, it needs to have a description of what exactly is happening. But the drasha that you gave of sefer and chasav law and the restriction of devrei chayim, bruach chayim, and the restriction of ochel, that is not an accurate drasha in the pasuk. So the Gemara goes on to ask, so if that's the case, then what did the Rabbanan do with the word v'chasa? They explained to me what they do with the word sefer. The word sefer is just for sfiras dvarim. What about the word v'chasa? Rabbanan hai v'chasa my abdilei. What did the Rabbanan do with the word v'chasa? So here we have a very significant line, which appears both here and in Maseches Kiddushin. Mibay luhu b'ksiva miskareshes, v'eina miskareshes b'kesef. It comes to teach you that gerushin can only be done through a get, through a shtar, and it can't be done through money. I would think maybe he just hands her some money, and that is a method, a proper method for disbanding the marriage. The Gemara says no. Why would I have thought that in the first place? Sakadai de Chamina may have thought, Achish Yetzia Lahavaya. We have a hekesh between Havaya and Letzia. The Torah says, V'yatza'a v'hayesa l'ish acher. That's the pasuk. V'chaz v'lesefer kriz v'nasan v'yada. V'shchami beso. That's ami beso v'halacha v'hayesa l'ish acher. So you have this hekesh between Gerushin and Kiddushin. She leaves one house and there's a Kiddushin in the next house. So that hekesh between Havaya Liyatziya, between Gerushin and Kiddushin, is very significant halachically. We learn many halachos out from that hekesh. And I might have thought that that hekesh is applicable here too. What would I have thought? Excuse me. Ma Havaya b'kesef, afitzeh nami b'kesef. I would have thought, just like Kiddushin can be effectuated through kesef, just like you can give money in order to do a Kiddushin. Indeed, that's how we do Kiddushin. We don't usually give money, but we use what's called Shvei Kesef. We use a ring that has monetary value. So we use that in order to create a Kiddushin. I would have thought that Gerushin can be done through Kesef as well. Kamash Malan. So this pasuk comes to teach me that you cannot do Gerushin through Kesef. That's a very important Havamina and Maskana that we'll circle back to in a moment. So the Idach. So again, so the Rabbanan explained to me how they learned that you can't do Gerushin through Kesef. How does Rabbi Yossi Aglili learn that? Rabbi Yossi Aglili learns it from Nafkalei, mi Sefer Krisos. He learns it from Exeris HaKasov of Sefer Krisos. How does he darshan those words? Sefer Korsav ein davar acher Korsav. That it is a Sefer that creates Gerushin, and you do not have anything else that creates Gerushin. So Ve'idach, now again, the natural next question is going to be, so what do the Rabbanon do with that pasuk? What do they do with the word Sefer Krisos? They say, we need it to teach us davar hakoreis beino levena, that a get needs to be something that creates an actual separation between man and wife. What does this come to exclude? This comes to exclude scenarios where the separation is contingent upon something that can really unravel the gerushin, that can really unravel the divorce. What's an example of that? So the Gemara gives an example in the Brisa. Kidasanya, we learned the Brisa. Here's your get, on condition that you never drink wine for the rest of your life. Now, on condition that for the rest of your life, you don't go to your father's household. That's not krisos. Why? Because you're never in a state of certainty for the rest of her life, for perpetuity. You're never in a state of certainty that the get actually dissolves the marriage. Because in theory, you could go on 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, decades and decades, and then towards the very end of her life, she takes a sip of wine, and then retroactively, the get was never good in the first place. So because this get never has a point, a defined point at which they are formally divorced from one another, the Gemara says that get doesn't work, even if she never drinks wine. That's not an effective get. It needs to be, we need to have a definitive point where we could say they are officially divorced. Accordingly, the Brisa goes on to say, ad shloshim yom hareza krisas. If he says to her, you know, as long as you don't drink wine for 30 days, then that does work because we do have a defined point. We just need to wait 30 days. And if at that point of 30 days, she hasn't drunk wine, then we can say definitively that the get worked. And therefore that is an effective get. But if it's the olam, if it's for perpetuity, if there's no, again, end point, there's no defined end point, then that's not proper krisos. And that is what the Chachamim learned from the term sefer krisos. So once again, now the Gemara will go back to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Ve'idach, where does he learn that halacha from? The Gemara answers, mikares krisos. He learns it out from the double lashon of kares krisos. Ve'idach kares krisos lo darshi. And the Chachamim don't have that extra mashmaos of the language of krisos. In other words, Rashi says it could have said sefer kares. It says krisos. This pluralization of the kares, the Chachamim don't see as materially significant as far as drashos are. So that ends the Shaka Vataria of the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. You have, again, a number of drushos that are made from the terms v'chasav la sefer krisos, with the difference being that Rabbi Yossi Aglili has one additional drasha that you can't use something that has ruach chayim or ochlin. Now, just a couple of points that emerge from the Shaklav Taya that are significant. So I made a point of noting the Hava Amina. You can unravel an Ishus through Kesef. And the Gemara ultimately rejects that. Was that a serious Hava Amina? Was it not a serious Hava Amina? To what degree is that Hava Amina rejected? So here, Tosfos have an important point where they reference the fact that this whole Gzeiros HaKosev is only according to one day in the Gemara. If you look at Tosfos Dibur Maskil Ve'Einam Mezkareshes B'Kesef, it's a short Tosfos, so we could even read at least the beginning inside. It's the third to bottom Tosfos on the page. Tosfos say, Hak Drasha L'Rava. This whole drasha that we have two drashas to possibly limit the possibility of gerushin through kesef. We had two separate gzeros akasef in the pasuk, one for Rabbi Yossi Aglili, one for the Chachamim. He says all of that was within the opinion of Rava. Avala Abaye nafka le de ena misgareshes pekesef misvara, but Abaye didn't even need a pasuk to eliminate that possibility of kesef. He eliminated it through svara. The yomru kesef machnes kesef motzi. People are going to say that the same kesef that's used to enter a relationship is used to exit a relationship. The Gemara in Kiddushin over there, it's on Daf Hey, quotes a famous phrase that appears in many areas of halacha. The phrase is, what do we call it when you can't use the same thing to achieve two opposite ends? What's the phrase that we use very often? Why can't the Kohen Gadol wear gold in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur?
You want to be Kategor Yasas Anegor?
Exactly. The Gemara says, En Kategor Nasas Anegor. You can't use the same thing to create Kiddushin that's going to end a marriage as well. So Tosus point out that that you don't really need these Gzeres HaKasav for Abaye. Tosus continue to say, When we call Machom, it's Tarach Medide Nami because of Lumute Chalitza. Hazu Moment Chalitza, we say for Korsa. So they say that according to Abaye, you'd also need the drasha to eliminate chalitza, but you wouldn't need it to eliminate kesef. So I'll just point out that, again, both of these hava aminas are quite significant. Would we really have a hava amina that you can end a kiddushin through kesef? Do we take that hava amina seriously? Abaye says, no way, it's not really conceivable. Rava requires a gzeres hakosef to eliminate that possibility. That might depend on how we perceive the nature of gerushin. What is the nature of gerushin? And really, frankly, how we perceive the nature of ishus too. If you view ishus primarily through a almost financial framework, that it's a kind of financial partnership, a financial agreement, and indeed that is certainly a part of ishus, halachically speaking, when one enters into an ishus, there are all sorts of financial responsibilities, obligations that apply from husband to wife, from wife to husband, etc. If that's the primary prism through which we view ishus, then perhaps one might take seriously the Hava Amina, that just that it is as it is created through Kesef, it is disbanded through Kesef. There's an initial monetary agreement, and then there's later there's a disbanding of that agreement. Maybe Kesef is really the primary means through which Ishus and Gerushin are effectuated. When we reject that, perhaps we are saying that Ishus is not just that kind of framework. Now, again, that might depend on the nature of the rejection. You might say that Abaye, who rejects it misvara, says, no, it's not even conceivable that gerushin should be effectuated through kesef. Ishus is not just some kind of contractual agreement that can be entered and exited through kesef. And maybe Rava, who requires a gzeres hakosef, says that's inachinami. Maybe the premise of the Hava Amina actually was valid, but comes the Torah to teach you, you can't use kesef. Or alternately, even Rava would say that once we have a Gzeres HaKasav to teach us that you require a shtar, we are firmly rejecting the Hava Amina, that Ishus is just a financial transaction that can be both, again, effectuated and ended through Kesef. But how seriously we take that Hava Amina may impact our perception on Ishus as a whole. I will just mention, as a parenthetical, which is also, again, related, that the notion of Gerushin, particularly through shtar, through Sefer, is quite significant. I know a number of you attend my Gemara Gittin Be'iyun Shir, and we made a significant point of this. The Rambam in particular heavily emphasizes the role of Shtar and Sefer when he describes the mitzvah of Gerushin, both at the beginning of Hilchos Gerushin and his description in the Sefer HaMitzvos. He emphasizes She'igaresh HaMagaresh V'chsav. For the Rambam, the notion of Ksiva is very significant to Gerushin, and we suggested at the time that perhaps it is Ksiva that indeed reflects Kedushas Aishos. It reflects the fact that it is not just a kind of financial transaction the way other partnerships are. It is a much more deep and significant partnership that can't just be disbanded through Kesef or anything else. We noted at the time that Yerushalmi says that there is no Gerushin Bechsav for Bnei Noach. For non-Jews, there is no Gerushin Bechsav. There's a machlokas as to what Gerushin looks like for non-Jews. Yerushalmi has two deos on the topic. Either they don't have Gerushin at all, once they've entered into the agreement, it's for perpetuity, the Shita of the Catholics. Or alternately, the Yerushalmi says, she just picks up and leaves, or he just throws her out. Either party just picks up and leaves, and that's their form of Gerushin. But either way, you don't have the form of Gerushin that is uniquely expressed through Ksiva, which is once again perhaps expressive of Kedushas Aishas. On the one hand, it's not just a permanent arrangement where we say, whatever happens, you're stuck together, sorry. We try to maintain the dignity of each individual. And if there are instances when a marriage isn't working out, Gerushin is a vehicle and an option. On the other hand, it's not something you could just pick up and leave because you decided that you could find something better elsewhere. You can't just pick up and go on a whim. You need to go through a formal process of ksiva. So perhaps, again, this whole hava amina of doing Gerushin through kesef and then ultimately the rejection of that possibility and the suggestion that you need a ksiva speaks to some of the broader realities pertaining to the nature of ishos, kedushas, ishos, and the like. Just one other minor ha'ara, the idea of dabar ha'kores beino levena is discussed by Tosfos as well, the idea that you need to have something that formally and finally breaks between them. You could say, ad shloshim yom, you can't drink wine for 30 days, and then we could determine after 30 days whether or not there's been a formal break. But you can't say, la'olam vayed, because then we have no point at which there's been a krisis. Tosfos do question the example given in the Braisa, of hareza giteich amanash lo telchi lebeis avich. Here's your get on condition that you don't go to your father's household. Tosfos point out that there are theoretical circumstances in which we can definitively say that the possibility has ended. Tosfos give a couple of examples. Let's say the father passes away. If you look again, this is the second to last Tosfos. So Tosfos say shelo telchi lebeis avich la'olam ein zekrisos. Tema ha im meis aviha, her father dies, o in machar, let's say he sells the house, o chashiv su beis aviha, then it's no longer her father's household. The Rishonim in Kiddushin, where this is also discussed, raised the possibility that maybe the house will fall down. The structures aren't permanent, they don't last forever. So there are potential endpoints here where we can say that there has been real krisos. So Tosos answer that when you use the term beis abba, that's a term that has an implication of perpetuity. Even if the father dies, even if he sells it to somebody else, what you mean is that area, that piece of land that once belonged to your father, that you can't go there forever, and therefore you do have a condition that lasts for perpetuity. And the Ritva in Kiddushin offers a similar answer. He says, even though that's not true in other areas of halacha, if she would take, let's say, a neder, that she wouldn't go to her father's household, then we would say that if it was sold, then she could go there. She said, the Ritva says, that's because in the area of Nedarim, we follow Lishna de Bnei Adam. We follow what people usually mean. And the Ritva says, if she took a swear that she's never going back to her father's household, she means the house that her father owns. If it was sold, then it's different. But here in this area of halacha, in Gittin, where we don't have the same sensitivity to human language, but we deal in objective terms, Beis Avich is defined as his home forever, even if he is no longer living there because he died, even if he sold it to somebody else, it's still considered that as well. However, the Ritva does also offer an alternative possibility. His additional possibility is that when we say Dabar HaKores Beino Levena, it doesn't need to be perpetuity per se. We need to have an easily identified and predictable endpoint to his condition. The Ritva says, yes, it's possible that maybe his house will fall down. And if his house fell down, then okay, then there's no longer any possibility of returning to that house and you have krisos. But the Ritva says, we don't expect houses to fall down. It's not the three little pigs. We're not constructing houses out of straw or out of twigs. You expect the house to last. And therefore, even though there's a possibility that maybe there will be some kind of natural disaster, or maybe there'll be some kind of failure in the construction and somehow the house will fall down, that's not considered a dabar krisos. Just because you can come up with some theoretical possibility at which of a point when there will be no more fulfillment of the tanai, there will be no more contingency in the gerushin, that's not enough. You need to have a clearly defined point. If you tell me, la'achar shloshim yom, I can count 30 days. That's very clear. That's very clearly defined. If you want to hinge it on possibilities that maybe a house is going to fall down, the Ritva says that too is a chisaron and krisos. So that sheet of the Ritva is significant because it does expand this idea of davar akores beino levena. According to the Ritva, it need not be something that has no possibility of fulfillment until the moment that she dies. Even if there's possibility of fulfillment, if it's remote possibility of fulfillment, that too is insufficient to constitute a davar akores beino levena. It needs to be something that is regular, predictable, that we can really really pinpoint, as opposed to something that's more of a remote possibility. So those are just two ha'aras on the Shakra Vatari about Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Chachamim. Any questions before we go to the next Mishnah? Okay, weiter. Says the Mishnah, Ein kosvin b'mechubar lakarka. You cannot write a get on something that is attached to the ground. Kosvo b'mechubar, you wrote the get on something attached to the ground. Tolsho v'chasmo v'nasnola. Kasha. But then you detached it and you signed it and you gave it to her. That's kasha. Rabbi Yehuda posel ad shetehiksivas v'chasimas v'betalosh. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that even the writing needs to be after it has been separated. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira says, Ein kosvin lo al anir hamachuk. You can't write on paper that has been previously erased. You had a text, you erased it, and now you want to write a get. He says, that's no good. Velo ala diftera. Diftera, as we will see, is unfinished parchment. You can't write on those materials. Neshu yachol lehizdayim. Because in those instances, it's too easy to just mess around with the text. It doesn't have the permanence of a full cloth. It's easy to erase and rewrite. And therefore, the get is going to be puzzle. V'chachamim machshirim. And the chachamim hold that it is kasha. Okay, so we have two issues that are recorded in the Mishnah. One is a machlokas about mechubar lakarka. If you wrote it, well, everybody agrees that if the get is mechubar lakarka at the point that it's given to the Isha, and we'll see examples of that in the Gemara, that's not going to be good. The question is, if you wrote it on, let's say, a leaf and then tore it off, signed it, and handed it over, is that good? Is it or is it not good? We have machlokas tanaim on that. And we also have machlokas tanaim about writing on materials that are easily erased. So let's take a look, and we'll cover as much as we can on these issues. Kasvo al hamechubar. Gemara describes a case where it was written. The Mishnah really describes a case where it was written on something attached to the ground. V'ha'amrit reisha ein kosvin. Didn't you just tell me a second ago in the reisha that you're not allowed to write on mechubar? So what is this case where you wrote it on mechubar and then you detached it and gave it to her? Amr Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So Yehuda reports the name of Shmuel. The case is, well, you just wrote the generic introduction to the get while it was still attached to the ground, but the tochen, the toref, Rashi says, is Giluyo Shalstar Makom Ha'ish Va'isha Ve'azman. You're writing the details, the particular details of this get, the things that make this get unique, who the parties are, the location, the time, those are going to be written after it was already detached. And Rabbi Elazar similarly reported in the name of Oshia, Hushashir Makamatorev. It's only in a case where you, again, did not write the particular details until it was already detached. And we have a third report that indeed it was a scenario where you left the Makamatorev. Now, why is that okay? So the Gemara continues. Rabbi Elazari, and this is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, one of the most important disputes in all of Maseches Gittin. It's really an important dispute in Shas, is of course the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir, which you have seen several times already. The machlokas pertaining to Edi Chasim Akarsi and Edi Mesir Akarsi. So what is Rabbi Elazar's position? For Rabbi Elazar, he to Amar Edi Mesir Akarsi. It is Rabbi Elazar who holds that you need Edi Mesir, you need witnesses on the Mesir as a get, the handing over of the get. Why is that significant? Because that means that Rabbi Elazar de-emphasizes the signatures. The signatures are not important for Rabbi Elazar. The signatures, frankly, aren't necessary for Rabbi Elazar. What is important for Rabbi Elazar? The ksiva, the writing of the Torah. And that's what the Gemara goes on to say. This is what Rabbi Elazar means to tell you. Ein kosvin tofes, shema yichtov. We are now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up on the bottom. Shema yichtov Torah. You shouldn't write any part of the get when it's mechubar lakarka, out of a concern that you might write the entirety of the get while it's mechubar lakarka, while it's still attached to the ground. However, kasvo letofes v'tolsho, kasva l'tore, v'nasno la kasha. However, even though we recommend not writing any of it while it is mechubar l'karka, if you wrote the generic part while it was still mechubar l'karka, then you detached it, wrote the particular part, and gave it to her, that still is a kasher get. Reish Lakish Amar, Reish Lakish says, Chos Mav Shaninu. Reish Lakish says the critical part is not writing the Toreif, not writing the particulars once it's been detached. What is the critical thing that needs to be done after it's been detached? Chos Mav, the Chasim Azaedim, the signatures of the witnesses. And whose opinion is that going to be? Unsurprisingly, he qualifies and says, five lines up at the bottom, for Rebbe Meir, this is the opinion of Rebbe Meir, to Amar Edei Chasim Akarsi, who holds that it is the signatures that is critical. So according to Rebbe Meir, you need to detach it before the signatures. How do we learn the Mishnah? Four lines up from the bottom, Bahalif Amar, this is what the Mishnah means to say. Ain Kosvin Torev, Zereshem Yechtom. You shouldn't write the particular parts of the get, lest you come to do the signatures. According to Rebbe Meir, the generic part of the get, you can even Lachatchila write while it's still attached to the ground. We don't want you to write the particulars of the get while it's still attached, because you might end up having the signatures on it as well. However, but even if you did that, you wrote up the entire get while it was still attached, tolsho, and then you detached it, kosmo, and then it was signed, v'nasna la kasha, and then it was given to her, then it is kasha. What we emerge with here is a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir as to what the critical part of the get is, which part needs to be written after it has already been detached. According to Rabbi Meir, it really will start in the opposite order of the Gemara, because I think it's more intuitive that way. According to Rabbi Meir, what's the critical thing that needs to be done? The critical part of a get is the signatures of the witnesses. So according to Rabbi Meir, as long as the get has been detached before the witnesses sign, that's perfectly fine. We advise you against writing it when it's attached, because you might end up signing it when it's attached as well. But really, the critical piece is the signatures of the witnesses. As long as it's detached before the witnesses sign, that's perfectly okay, according to Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Elazar, who doesn't require chasimos, what is the critical moment? According to Rabbi Elazar, the critical moment is the writing of the Toreif Hashtar, the writing of the particulars of the Shtar that chronicle the details of this particular divorce. Man's name, wife's name, date, time, etc. That is the critical piece that needs to be written when it is detached. Now, I will just note that you could have said, according to Rabbi Elazar, that maybe you could have had the opposite conclusion. Rabbi Elazar is saying that the writing of the Toreif is significant. Rabbi Elazar is the one who says, Edei Mesira Karsi. Maybe I would have said, according to Rabbi Elazar, that none of the writing is significant. The writing isn't significant. The signing isn't significant. What's significant? The Mesira, the Nesina. That's the part that he requires witnesses on. So maybe I could have gone in the opposite direction. The Gemara is saying that Rabbi Elazar ends up being more machmir, because he's machmir on even the writing of the get. I could have gone in the opposite direction and said he doesn't care about any of that stuff. He just cares about the mesiras I get. So you see that even according to Rabbi Elazar, there's an important chalos to the ksivas haget. And that is significant in several ways. One larger theme, broader theme in the Masechta that you see expressed in a number of ways is that gittin is what, to use the language of my Rebbe, of Rosenzweig, it is front-loaded in certain ways. In certain ways, that the process of writing the get, even before its completion, already has halachic status, that the writing, the signing, even the kavana to send a get, to give a get, can have halachic ramifications. You'll see this certainly as the Masechta continues. There are a number of ways in which even the kavana to be megaresh has halachic significance. And you see this even according to Rabbi Elazar, even according to the Shita that maintains Edei Mesira Karsi, that kind of places the emphasis on the end point, the end of the process, when it's actually in her hand, when it's actually handed over to her, he still says that there are certain halachic ramifications to the ksiva itself. And ironically, in this instance, it's even more machmir than Rabbi Meir on components of the ksiva, because he requires that the ksiva be done after it is talush. Okay? Good. Question?
Nope.
Okay. Let's see the next section of the Gemara. The next section of the Gemara is actually quite significant for this whole halacha of talush and mechubar. Says the Gemara as follows. What time do I have till?
2 minutes.
I have 2 minutes? Oh, okay. Let me go very quickly. Kasva al cheret shel atzitz nakuv kasher. If you wrote it on the pottery of an atzitz nakuv is a pot with a hole in it, a pot in the hole in the bottom, so which is often considered to be in halacha, mechuber lakarka, attached to the ground. Kosher. If you wrote it on the pottery, then it is kosher. Because you could just pick it up and you could give it to her. What if you wrote it on a leaf that's growing in that pot? When we said, again, ordinarily something that's growing in a pot with a hole in the bottom is attached to the ground. Abaye amar kosher. Abaye says it's kosher. Rava amar posel. Rava says it's posel. Abaye amar kosher. Why does Abaye say it's kosher? Because in the end of the day, he can again pick it up and just give it to her. Rava amar posel. Gzeira shema yiktom. Rava says it's posel because of a gzeira that maybe you will pick it from the branch and it will be katsitsa mina mechubar and you will be cutting it from mechubar. Just very quickly, this highlights an interesting question as to what this whole question of talish and mechubar is in the context of gerushin. And again, because I only have 2 minutes, we're not going to be able to get into all of this now, but it might be a question as to what this halacha is in the first place. Is this halacha really about being attached to the ground? Or is this halacha about the fact that the get is not really completed and it needs to be ready to go at the moment of the gerushin, in the moment of the cut? So Tosos, for example, and Dibra Maskel Yatza have the following question. Let's say you have a very, very large piece of parchment, a very, very large cloth. It's not attached to the ground, but you write it there and you do need to cut it. You do need to cut it before you give it to her. So it's still mechusar ktsitsa. It still requires cutting, just not cutting from the ground. Tosos have two deos, there's a machlokes, as to whether or not that would be a problem. In other words, is the problem the requirement of cutting per se? Or is it the problem of cutting from the ground? Here too, you potentially have a similar nafkamina. In the case of atzitz nakuv, there's no real action of cutting that's required. You have something that's attached to the ground and you could just hand it over. Is that significant? Or is the problem that it is attached to the ground and therefore that would constitute a halachic problem? It could be the reverse nafkamina of the case discussed in Tosos. In any event, that is Gittin Daf Rafael Hanubez. Shkoya Chavra, continued Hatzlacha with the Limud, wishing everybody a wonderful, wonderful day.
Tomorrow is
tomorrow's regular
shear. What? No
shear. No, regular shear. Tomorrow's regular shear.
Thank you, Rabbi Schreier.
Thank you. Yeah, Rabbi Schreier.